There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top. If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Avengers Alliance. I am Epic of Boss McFall, and here, helping us with the soonish aspect of everything, snarly a little bit, but with a smile, Soapbox Slots.
Yeah, super surly.
is that like Super Saiyan? You have to kind of build up the surly till you glow orange and get on fire, and then you can really get on the soapbox.
You're a nerd. And no one likes you.
Oh, well, on that note, the chuckle also in the background. Golden Age Ebbett.
Hello. Let's start the next set of 100 episodes here.
That's right. 101.
Here we go. This is Avengers 101 is what we're going to be doing today. So first there was the Hulk and Ant-Man.
Reboot and recast everybody and do a whole new origin story from
right?
FDA?
Yes, exactly. This is okay. The reboot, and this time we're going to make all of the From the Helicarrier guys women, and we're going to add a new robot character that is for comic relief
and make sure everybody's under 16. Everybody's under 16.
That's right. And Bill Murray's going to make a cameo. It'll be perfect.
Would you guys say that we remain committed to the characters of From the Helicarrier?
I say we strongly remain committed to the characters.
You know, even with the...
Stand by the reviews.
Yeah, even with the somewhat shaky launch of the whole first version of FTH over the last 3 years, and MAA, rather. Yeah, we commit to covering MAA, too, even though... hasn't launched yet. but we do have some headlines, sir, right?
Yes, we do. Heroic battles for Chapter 9 have been revealed. We'll take a look at who you can expect to fight in Heroics and probably the E-ISOs that you're going to get as part of that. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver AOU alts have been announced that they're going to arrive with Chapter 9. It's a good way to turn something that was kind of delay into an announcement. Hey, we've been holding off on these. You're going to get them with Chapter 9. I think Charles and I both are going to have a lockbox opening parade, and we'll read some emails. And unless Chapter 9 drops during the show, which I kind of predict, I'm kind of thinking it's going to drop during the show. Then we'll just have a nice collective yawn at the end of the show and go back to sleep.
I think it's before you jump into the sales. What's the character of the fire guy?
Sunfire.
Sunfire, thank you. Sunfire. Well, I knew it wasn't Johnny.
Human Torch?
Yeah. No, you knew it was because I don't even reference Klotz's picture.
Picking up that character, as Paul's probably going to say here, I think he went back on sale a few hours ago. So that
I
might mean
have
something.
I known that.
He's
already got it.
So that's what I was going to mention because it people were definitely, he's required. He's a heroic battle in Chapter 9. And those who didn't have him saw a 3-day countdown. And I thought it was 2 days ago that they said it, so that could either mean today or tomorrow that 9 is launching. I kind of pegged today. But everybody's theory was basically as soon as he goes on sale that it'll launch. But we don't know. So what is on sale?
Well, so... you see, I'm just amusing all the catchwords that I was accused of last night.
If we're going to play the shot game, I need to get some good alcohol. So
we don't have much on sale right now. We've pretty much got the current PvP items and the last PvP items. So that's it.
Yeah, you know, which does kind of, it's like that tidal wave, right? You feel everything kind of pulling back, nothing's going on. And all of a sudden, wham, here comes the chapter and here comes a whole bunch of new characters and new on sale. I mean, not actually new characters, but new characters on sale and new stuff you have to have. So I kind of feel like that personally.
Yeah. And maybe that's a sign, again, you know, they don't want to put a bunch of stuff on sale right before they release a chapter where there's all this new content where they're going to be able to say, all right, now we want to sell you a bunch of stuff. How about some alts? How about Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver?
Yeah, I totally foresee this. This is a local thing, so I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of it. But the Varsity is a big place in Atlanta. It's been around forever, and it's well known for its hamburgers, hot dogs, or whatever. But it's a historical landmark as well as an active restaurant. And you walk in and they go, "What do you have? What do you have?" They just scream at you, "What do you have?" And it's this atmosphere thing. And I kind of think Playdom's going to go that route. It's like, wait. Chapter 9. What do you have? What do you have? You want a sword? You want a sword? You want it all? You want it all? Here, I got you an all. You want it all? So that's, yeah. We're about to get inundated with lots of good stuff, which sucks because I'm almost 90 CP, which means I can recruit Quake, or I can wait to see what the alts are going to do. And because, you know, sure. I have to have the alts.
You know. Well, Quake will be around forever, so the alts will be limited time. That should make your decision pretty easy.
It does. It's just frustrating.
Did you pick up any of the, speaking of which, I know they're not on sale anymore, but did you pick up any of the Future Foundation alts?
No.
I couldn't keep a straight face while I asked that.
No, I already have the Invisible Woman's, which is a must-have, I do
yes.
believe.
Yeah.
I already have the Things, because at one point, the Kingfisher came out with a video of how basically the Thing was invulnerable, but you had to have this certain crystal that's a weapon for your agent. It's been a long, long time since this crystal's come out, and they've not put it back in the cell again. It was just one of those things. I forget what it's called, but that's not a McFall forget. It's just, I don't know that anybody remembers what this stupid crystal is called. But you had to have that and one or two other weapons, but essentially it just, with the Future Foundation suit, it just beefed up the Thing so much with his shields and with his buffs that you couldn't hit him. I mean, you'd tap him for one hit or two points, and he would just demolish the other team. So I do have the Future Foundation outfit for him, or alt, I guess I should say. You know, grown men love to play dress up.
Did you just coin a new term, by the way, like a new colloquialism for our show?
I have no idea.
you said it wasn't a McFall.
Wouldn't forget? A McFall forget? Yeah, it's right, a real forget. Yeah,
oh my God, he's become self-aware.
But Bobby, I don't remember Bobby's last name. He might not want me to say it anyway. But Bobby writes me often enough, and when he saw those on sale, I have to quote him. His quote is, "Has Platinum lost their effing mind with these alt sales?" I'm like, yes, a little bit, because why wouldn't you just do a Future Foundation pack for 20 or 30 gold? You'll get all the Future Foundation alts because,
well, the question is, you know, which ones do you put together? Do you do all of them, or do you do like, all right, we're going to do
only five.
Tactician. Well, no, it's five.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you. Five bait. There's five of each.
There's eight total, right? Yeah. Weren't there two alts for each of the Fantastic Four
and Spider-Man?
Oh, right. Yeah.
So that makes five,
ten altogether.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I see. What
but
you're
you
saying.
Probably, like you said, you already had Invisible Woman. You already had the Thing. I assumed you already had the Human Torch one that brings in all the Annihilus stuff, right?
Dude, the Human Torch has been so weak since day one that I have not invested any time.
That is not true.
Better. This
that
one is
no, that's not true.
True.
Okay. When you're in day one, okay. No, you're right, Klaus. When you're in day one, up through like 50, level 50, the Torch is one of your first recruits. Because
I would argue that Annihilus Torch is a solid PvP get all the way up to about 100. Like,
okay. I could let that happen.
That was the first alt that I got where I kept getting my ass kicked by people who had it at early levels. Mm-hmm. He'd summon those weird space bees and like,
from the Annihilites.
Yeah.
And he would just poop all over me. So I'm very scatological today, apparently. So that's the whole thing is, early on, that was a really solid costume. So he was a real deal. Him and Strange, when I first started, were powerhouses, especially together. So,
Fair enough. Definitely fair enough from a lower level perspective. I do remember having the torch be one of my mainstays in PvE and PvP, because as soon as he gets touched, you're on fire. And that was always very helpful. So he's definitely a great early recruit, but at level, I'd even say 200 and higher, but definitely level 300, I never use him. I like Jared Lestat in the chat, says, my torch is a heavy hitter. Not that I use him now. And it is. Would you guys say that's a power creep issue? Like, you just out-level him and he's just not worth it anymore?
I think it's not necessarily your hero's power creep. It's just that so many better characters have been announced since him, you know, since Torch, that it just doesn't make it worth it to pick him up anymore.
Now, see, it kind of would have made sense to have him be the Breaker of Oceans, because he would, like, steam him up and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You're a weirdo in that.
I am a weirdo. The steamer of oceans. The Cleveland Steamer of Oceans.
What? See, people, when I'm the mature one in the room, things go south. It's just that. Let's move on. So, no, I did not pick up any of the Future Foundation suits.
All right, good.
So, there you go.
A simple no would suffice next time.
I'll try that. Heroic battles have been enough. I hate when they do this. This is kind of like why I avoid all teasers for the new Doctor Who season, or after I watch the first or second trailer for a movie, I let it go. I will not watch anymore, because I want that joy of experiencing it. You're teasing me. Stop. They announced Chapter 9, the heroics, and all these great battles. I'm like, I don't care as much as I want to get in there and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're only knowing what characters are going to be in there. And I think that's kind of a benefit, right? Because it gives you an idea of, like, oh, I don't have this one. I'm going to want to pick him up so that if I do get a Z-ISO, I can use it. You're not going to see how they're going to kind of modify the passives and benefits of those characters to kind of take advantage of, you know, make the heroic a little bit more exciting. You know how they kind of give the heroes some extra powers, like, you know, this works really well if you're on fire. And so you kind of want to be on fire so you can kind of take advantage of it.
Which, now you say that, you probably will have that, because Sunfire, his level 4, lights everybody on fire.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. So let's go through these really quick. So if you are worried about spoilers for Chapter 9.
Well, and to be clear, you're absolutely right. For people who don't have every hero, then this is a good shopping list.
Right,
you
know, exactly.
I do have them all, so I'm just like, I'm ready to play.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you do get to, even if you don't have the character, you still get to do the heroic battle. It's not like a team up where, oh, you don't have that character, so you can't do the team up, or you don't have the character, so you can't do the deploy.
I think you do have to have, don't you, Klaus? I don't think you did for heroics. I mean, isn't that part of the whole cost of chapter or season 2 is you have to have these characters to get through the heroics to finish the chapter to get the new?
No, it's you needed those characters to do deploys.
Right? Maybe. Let's see what Jero says.
Are you confirming, Paul, that you do need the character to do the heroic?
You don't have to do the heroic battles to complete. Well, no, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You do if it's an epic boss.
Well, you have to. Well, okay. So for the chapter, one of the chapter rewards is complete all the heroic battles.
So here you go. Here's things that people who own every character don't know. New segment on. From the helicarrier.
We're the MAA 1%.
That's right.
So sorry, guys.
Okay, so yeah, you do need. In heroics, lockbox characters are team ups, everyone else you need. You have to have the character initiate the battle. Okay, cool. All right. Oh, there we go. Except for lockbox characters. So there are some caveats. Oh, strange. All right.
Yeah.
Here's who you're going to be facing up against regardless. Mission 1 is going to have Loki, Beta Ray Bill, and Angela versus Surtur, Executioner, and Curse. That'll be an interesting one. Hopefully a slightly nerfed Curse compared to the epic boss, the group boss version of Curse that we had a while ago. Mission 2 is going to have Ghost Rider, Red Hulk, and Elektra versus Mephisto and Demons. Look for plenty of fire in that one. Mm-hmm. Mission 3 is going to have Agent Venom, Anti-Venom, and Hybrid.
That's going to be fun.
Green Goblin, Carnage, and Scream. Yeah, a lot of cool synergy between all those guys.
And I've run on some of the daily missions where you can just pick anybody but the hero. Mm-hmm. I've run that team, and it's a lot of fun.
Interesting. Cool.
Thank you, Mufano. Let me get on my fucking headline.
No, that's cool. Yeah, the strike team stuff when I was able to use those guys in the strike team. And it's a huge team-up bonus, too, when you get them, too.
Yeah,
nice. All right. Mission 4 gives you the Warriors 3 versus the Wrecking Crew. Mission 5 gives you Moon Knight, Daredevil, and Sandman versus Doc Ock, Kraven, Mysterio, Vulture, Lizard, and Electro. So the Sinister Sinister 6.
You think they're going to have their Sinister 6 bonuses, too?
Oh, God, I hope not. Right? Like the...
But they kind of have to. Yeah, being maybe. That as a heroic.
You just made me dread that so much.
Yeah, I apologize, sir. Yeah,
And then finally, Mission 6 is going to have Wonder Man versus Grim Reaper. So look forward to 10, 13, 16 new EISOs that you're going to have to try and collect in this in this new chapter.
That's you're right, but that's a
I mean, they're all threes except for Mission 6, which is just Wonder Man.
So that's gonna. I'm very excited. That's one of my favorite things to do. I love heroic battles. I love the insane challenge of it. Until you find the unlock or Google it, and you figure out, oh, this is the pattern, and then the insane power you feel for besting it. It's. I love that thing. And of course, the rewards, the EISOs. Sometimes even AISOs or those just deploys. I don't remember
those. As far as I know, just not deploys, but
bosses.
Yeah. Do they come from deploys too? I think just bosses. In chapters. And then, of course, all the weapons and epic weapons and all that stuff. Yeah, fun stuff. Collect them all, just like Pokemon. And once you get them all, chapter MA2 will drop.
Chapter MA2.
I think that's going to be another recurring joke on this show. Hey, make sure you do the Spec Ops, because as soon as you're done with it, MA2 is going
to
drop.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, of course.
So very exciting. Of course, we've seen the cover art for Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver's alt. I'm excited about the sprite for Quicksilver, because he very much looks like both of them actually very much look like their counterparts in the movie.
Yeah.
And that's very fun.
Yeah, more so than the previous alts that we've seen, right? Like the Black Widow and Thor and Hawkeye that we've seen so far. I don't think they look as much like the characters as these new ones do. So that's cool.
Yeah, agreed. Vision got some weird art for me.
Well, yeah, it's some different colorization and style and stuff. So
speaking of, I have one of the greatest wives in the world. I left it sitting on my dresser upstairs, but she bought me the AOU Vision bobblehead the other day.
Oh, cool.
A little outside the universe, but still on sale. If you go to Target, if you have a Target in your area, they are selling the Funko Pops Age of Ultron bobbleheads. Well, they're vinyls. They don't actually bobble, so they're technically vinyls if you go by technicality. Less than or right at $9 a pop. So,
nice.
But they go for 12 to 15 typically new online. So,
cool.
Is it too late to mention that the plural of wife is wives? Or
No, I think George has already started recording his audio rebuttal.
You can't take stuff away from Uncle George, man. You gotta let him have it.
Hungarian.
That's right.
So, are you guys excited? What do you think the alts will do for Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver? Or have they? I don't think they've announced
break the
it,
meta. I think Scarlet Witch is probably going to be. I mean, how can it not be better than the alt suit that we got as part of a chapter release that has just been completely forgotten? Like, you don't see Scarlet Witch in her slave Leia outfit ever since that chapter. You don't see her in PvP. So, I mean, they've got to do something to make her a little bit more viable, I would expect. Yeah. Quicksilver, it'll be interesting to see if they make a Quicksilver alt that will make people forget about the blue suit, right? The current.
I would like something that would maybe not hit as much, but hit harder. That would be fun. Because, I mean, he punched the crap out of Captain America in the movie.
Yeah. You
know, which took away, because I think my feeling, not necessarily understanding, but my feeling of Quicksilver through the comics and through the few times he's been in cartoons referenced, is he sacrifices strength for speed. Mm-hmm. He's very, very fast, sure. but he's weak. But in the Age of Ultron, he was both.
Well, know? He's kind of got that 1 mile punch, and then all of his other attacks are just a lot of smaller, less powerful attacks. I'd like to see something totally different, though. I mean, Blast from the Past is a cool kind of effect. So something kind of along those lines, where maybe unexpectedly, random proc, he'll jump in front of Hawkeye
with a car,
save him from a bus, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Definitely, he should have a special team up bonus with Hawkeye, because that would be great. Klotz, you're really good at sussing these things out. Typically, what do you think? What do you think they're going to bring with these alts?
I don't know. Like, I'm actually not good at it lately. I've had predictions for the last 6 months to a year or so just like fall flat. The Quicksilver one's the one I'm really worried about, because I'm like, how can they like improve him in a way that makes him interesting but doesn't break him, you know?
Right.
Because we've had such issues with him in the past. I'm like, so they clearly have to like know that that's a potential problem. Like, and Scarlet Witch, I mean, Scarlet Witch is arguably one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe. So it would be really cool if she would get a skill set that would imply that she was actually powerful and not just like a weird buff support piece. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's I like what Reed just said. Molly throws a van, Quicksilver jumps into it and speeds away.
That'd be awesome.
I don't know. I don't know exactly where they're going to go with this. I'm actually really interested to see what they do with it, because I think there's a lot of there's like a wide open space for both characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I will say that the Transylvanian, whatever they called it, we mocked it a little bit, called the trainee outfit for but it's trans something, Transient or Transylvania. I can't remember.
It's Transient.
Transient. That outfit did improve her. When she first came out as a I don't think she was Spec Ops. I think she was – maybe she was a Spec Ops reward, because I remember getting her –
She was a Spec Ops reward.
Yeah. Because she and Mockingbird were my team for a while that were just massive damage. But better characters came out. Maybe they nerfed her. I don't know. I was not paying attention as well as I am today, which says a lot because I still can't remember crap. But she – the alt made her viable in PvE. You know, if I take her out, she's in that outfit because she counters with the chaos bubbles, whatever they are. So she's definitely more viable there, but definitely not in PvP. And I would like to see the alt make her viable for PvP. I did see when they announced it on Twitter, one of the first responses from somebody replying back to him was, "Great, now Quicksilver's going to be even worse in the meta that he is now." I'm like, well, you don't know that, man. I mean, he's actually not that bad. Yes, Quick Lord team is a solid team, especially if you do your armory right and you set it up correctly. It's a beast.
And a quick correction. I actually thought she was a chapter or a Spec Ops 3 reward, but nope, she was a general release, 90 CP general release.
Yeah, I kind of had the thought that we recruited her as well, but apparently not. We just bought her. So that's fine. But, you know, Quicksilver, would you guys agree that Quicksilver kind of ebbs and wanes? I mean, he'll come up and he'll be like really, really strong for a while in the meta, and then he kind of goes away for a while. Then something happens, and like Star-Lord get released, and now he's kind of back because that's a good team to put together. He's not a breaker like the Enchantress has become in the last couple of PvPs.
Her with Pestilence is a tough team to go against if you're running a team that's kind of tuned towards Null and Kurth.
Right.
You kind of got to change your strategy.
I think the advent of Kugan's Eye has really decreased his viability.
Yeah, definitely.
And balanced him out. So, you know, like, because that was one of the big things that he used to do, is he used to often really mess up your team, but particularly he used to take your agent out a lot of times, and he just can't now. You know, so that's a big thing, because a lot of people are running that, if not almost everyone. And so I think that really kind of keeps him in check. He's still a role player, but I don't think he's the tent pole he once was. But it was always the combination of him with the abilities of the other character. The other character usually broke him. He himself has always functioned pretty well. Like, we've talked about it a lot in the past that, you know, because he's so cheap, he's, like, the number one. Like, if you want to start competing in PvP, buy him because he's super cheap and you can really get rolling. In Quick Lock, it's Psylocke that really sets it all up. With pre-nerf Havoc. Mm. It was Havoc that was, you know, they were the 1-2 punch together kind of thing. And then in Quick Lord, Star-Lord is a key element too. So it's really about who he's able to be paired with and how their abilities click together. I think he, in a vacuum, he's really good. He's good but not broken. And it's always about those interactions. So it'd be really sweet if they did something where they play off each other.
Right.
With the new worlds.
Kate and Hawkeye do.
That would be really smart. Because that would make it so that it encourages the use of the two costumes together. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily lead to something being super busted elsewhere, you know?
Right.
Agreed. Now, for those of you watching on Twitch, I flipped off the camera, not because of anything that Klotz or Abel were saying. Is I'm in PvP, and sometimes these Iron Fists, man, Hiroke's Iron Fist, he's set up right in the AI. I got to tell you, the AI is playing him really, really, really well now. Because no longer does he heal on the first turn when everybody's healed already. Now, every once in a while, instead of doing a group heal, he'll heal himself only. That's a little wonky. But they go. My agent's set up in a way that you want to take my agent out first, and most AIs won't. Hell, he does. And he totally just did the Lotus, the prayer. And then he did the second punch, whatever that is, and took me out for 44,000 in the first hit. It just reacted. My finger goes up. Yeah. I was like, ow. I have the rest of my team set up for him. So it's like, you go after my agent. And if my agent survives, then it's on. If my agent doesn't survive, you still bought me enough time to ruin your day. And I typically can win the PvP match after that punch. But holy crap, that punch is working very well now.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, all right. So we talked about the alts.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I say let's do a little live lockbox opening, shall we?
It's a little lockbox music. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. So I'm going to switch the Twitch thing over to my screen here. You can see Iron Man Mark V, yes.
I'm not going to read Samuel VIII's name for it, but Virgo had super mega obliteration, which is great.
Samuel's, you don't like Samuel's?
Oh, I totally like it, but I get yelled at every time that I say something like that. So, like,
yes, we won't mention what's relentless and appeared in the Spider-Verse Spec Ops. All right, so here we're going to go. I've got 104 of these. We're going to do 10 opens. I don't think there's any chance I'm going to be as lucky as you were, McFall, last time, but let's see how we go. First one, I'm predicting I'm going to get a brand new cover for the first one.
Don't hold your breath. That'd be so funny if it were broken and the first one you open was like duplicate. Like, what?
Oh my god, this thing's going so slow. I even clicked on it and it's going super slow. I think it's because we've got the other thing going in the background. Well, as predicted, there we go. New cover, Squadron Supreme Volume 1, number 7. Reactive Robust ISO 8. I don't really use those.
Let's see. I'm opening my first set of 10 as well. Let's do them together. Let's see. And I got 110 to open today. And I just got Squadron Sinister Volume Number 1. So, okay. Of course, new. But
yeah. Of course. All right, let's open the second one here. Okay, yeah, you don't need to show me that first comic book cover. I know how those work. All right, let's see how number 2 goes.
Duplicate!
On number no two. Way! You already got a duplicate?
I already got a duplicate.
Box number 2?
Yeah.
All right, well, you're not going to get any hate from the chat room this time around.
No. Heavy ion beam at level 15.
I got a duplicate, too. Nice. Great. Thanks. Thanks, Plate. I appreciate that. All right. Well, should get a a brand new one this time. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
I got volume 1, number 7, brand new one, Squadron Supreme. Okay.
Oh, that was the one I got.
Yeah. Nothing good in the other boxes there. Let's hear what you got.
Some nice ISO. There we go. There's a new one. And Sinister Squadron, or Squadron Sinister, Volume 1, Number 2. Continue. Show me where it is in the the Wheel of Fortune puzzle known as the Collect All 8 Covers. Great. Thanks, yeah, Vanna. All right, let's open another 10.
And I am new. Avengers Volume 1, number 70.
Okay.
That's some ISO, nothing special. You know, until Klotz pointed out that, hey, you won that really nice weapon. I'm like, what weapon? Because I never paid attention to anything but the covers before. What'd you get?
Oh, interesting. I got exactly the same one you did. Avengers Volume 1, number 70.
See? Played them. Listen.
Sal Buscema art. I was never a big fan of Sal Buscema. I liked John Buscema, but reading Rom the Space Knight back in the 70s, was not a fan
of... You know what, everybody? If you follow at House of the Bear on Twitter, you're about to get a periscope of my screen.
Oh, really? You're going to do it that way? Cool.
It might as well. I've been coached on how to use it better and to use those little promotion things for the show. And I forgot to do one before this show. So, okay, why not?
Yep. All right, opening another one. Another duplicate. Of course. And a Fedora Noir. And some healthy, reactive, healthy ISO 8. Yeah, little... Sell that right back.
Now it says I am now live, so I'm gonna open another 10 here, catch up with you. Oh yeah, the fedoras and the papers and stuff. The Spider-Man Spec Ops gold stuff is really good. Mm-hmm. I got a Nano Spider Tracer. I got a new Mighty Thor Volume 1, number 280. So very cool.
Yet another duplicate. So far, I've opened 60 lockboxes and gotten three covers and three duplicates.
I am down to 60, so I've opened 70 lockboxes and I've got 4 covers.
Game's broken, man. Game's broken.
All right, Ed, opening up another one.
Let's see what happens.
That's just Playdom saying, I heard what you said.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
Uh-oh.
New. Oh, what do you know? We got another new one.
I got another new one as well. Which one did you get?
Squadron Sinister Volume 1, number 1 variant.
Oh, nice. I got the Squadron Supreme Volume 1, number 8. Some ISO.
Okay.
So let's continue on. So that gives me 5 covers. You've got 4 covers.
Yep. So you're in the lead.
Yay, me.
Should have had wagers on this. Maybe just too much time in Vegas recently.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Some of the Vegas is bleeding.
Oh, that we will need to talk about Vegas here in a second because there was a nice picture you put out everywhere.
Oh, really?
I'd like to discuss. So let's see. open it. Oh, duplicate.
Yeah. Same here.
I had 3 grand points.
ISO 8 and another Stoic ISO 8. Okay, I like the Stoics. Stoics I use.
So here comes another one. And for those of you on a Periscope, you only hear my end, but we're live from the Helicarrier, and I'm showing you the Twitch screen. It's at twitch.tv/thehelicarrier, and that's Brian Ibbett, as you can read on the screen. And in my screen, he's opening up lockboxes. Now, do you have another duplicate? Or you
got a new one, and 5 CP, so this was kind of a nice box. Got Squadron Supreme : Death of a Universe.
Death of a colon. Oh, I got a weapon. What is this? I got the Roaring of Thunder. Storm Herald. Chance for follow-up lightning strike when attacking with or being attacked by single target attacks.
Oh, very nice.
Ooh, that's going to... Okay, I'm going to talk about PvP in a little bit, and that's going to play into it. Thank you, Playdom. That's awesome.
All right, so 5 of 8 with 10 left to open.
I've got 30 left to open.
Okay. Let's see. Look, come on. Make it 6. Come on. Big money. Big money. Big no whammies.
It's a duplicate for me. I just didn't
recognize it. Duplicate for you. All right. Yeah. And I think that looks like a duplicate. I think that's Avengers 70. Yeah, pretty sure. It is Avengers 70. So duplicate for me. So opened up 10 and got 5 and 5. 5 new, 5 dupes.
All right.
So, and no weapons as far as I can tell. Nothing, everything else looked like ISO and consumables. So.
New. Squadron nice. Supreme, Death of a Colon.
Oh, there you go.
And a command point. A command
death
point.
Death of a Colon?
Hey, you said it first. I thought it was funny, so I will steal it. That was great.
There you go. All right. So there you go. So you got 6 out of 10. I'm sorry, 6 out of 8. I got 5 out of 8.
I'm opening one more. I got one more to open.
Oh, you got one more. I thought you had
it's opening right now. and spinning out. I think that's a repeat. Yeah, it's a Thor. Okay. So, yes, you are correct. I have got 6 out of 8.
Cool. Well, we'll see what happens this week. There's going to be another quest where we should get to earn a chance for more than the usual 5 per day, you know, by completing a quest, maybe get like 10 or something.
Right.
And we'll see what that gives us. And plenty of time to complete this lockbox set. Absolutely. But
On Periscope.
I'm going to go buy them all.
Go get them. So on Periscope, I'm actually finishing up now. That was the lockbox opens. So if you play Marvel Avengers Alliance, if you understand what those lockboxes mean, check us out at FromTheHeliCarrier.com, or I'm sorry, TheHeliCarrier.com. It's blogtalkradio.com/FromTheHeliCarrier and twitch.tv/TheHeliCarrier. We do our show and it's awesome.
Everything is awesome.
There you go. So all right. So what's this Vegas photo? What got leaked? What got shown? What's
okay. So first off, I got to say, I appreciate getting the text first because like, awesome. That is cool. And then you ended up putting it up in the lounge, which is also awesome.
Oh,
cool.
Yes.
So you made your own Crimson Spider hoodie there. Did you buy it or is it just?
No, I didn't
that's
buy
the
it.
What, that a, was the question.
So on the strip right by MGM Grand, there's a Ross Dress for Less or a Marshalls or something. And Uncle George and I went there to pick up a, he traveled out to Vegas and didn't bring any swim trunks. So we had to run out real quick and buy him some. And you can buy them at the gift shop. They cost about $150 and they're made out of tissue paper. Yeah, they're made out of cash. You'd be better off buying a roll of duct tape and just taping the money to your nether regions to maintain your dignity. No, so we went to Ross Dress for Less, and they had the red Spider-Man T-shirt, which had that the Scarlet Spider logo, not the traditional Spider-Man logo. Was like, oh, that looks really familiar. And then I look over and, oh, right over there, there's a blue hoodie. And if you put these together, you can cosplay as your favorite. I should have bought it because it was cheap. You know, probably the whole outfit would have cost me like $16 or something.
Oh, wow. Seriously? You definitely should have bought that.
I didn't do it. I just was like, oh, yeah. But I thought it was just more fun to take a picture and post it. And
Okay. Dragon Con next year, you are getting that outfit and you're cutting the sleeves off and you're rocking it for an event.
I think they're ripped off, aren't they? On right, the
or whatever, yeah, yeah.
Well, good luck finding somebody to rip them off for you.
Yep.
You don't think I'm sorry?
By the way, Charles, who the hell is the Crimson Spider?
Right.
Are you?
Get another alt. Oh, there's the fingers.
Oh, there they go.
Are you specking films over at Marvel that I don't know about?
Like, No. I'd be working for Fox on that one.
for when all else fails, they'll just start making the knockoff version of the movies.
Yeah, it's the Asian knockoff version, right?
Why did you have to get oddly specific like that? That's racist.
Oh, because I've been seeing those memes lately of like in Taiwan, there's a T-shirt that says Nirvana, but it's a picture of Hanson on it. That's not, yeah.
Those are great. Those are like the best thing ever.
So if I do this, I'll actually get the real, it. I'll get the real blue hoodie and an iron on a black, you know, spider logo on there. And then just, oh God, red leotards under that. Seriously. All right.
Have we reached the point where we've mocked you so much for your hatred of the Scarlet Spider costume that you now like it?
No, that's never going to happen. But it would be an ironic costume for Dragon Con.
That'd be great.
Be the only person there who is wearing the thing that he hates most in Marvel comics.
Yeah, that
is some strong feelings. That is literally the thing that you hate the most.
I can't think of something I hate more in Marvel comics.
Wow,
it's just so ridiculous.
I would have gone a little broader and said Clone Saga, but yeah, I understand. I mean, it's
yeah.
It's
well, okay. Here. You know what? That's a good point. The one more day thing with, more specifically, Mephisto's reset of everything that Peter Parker had done and given up and caused in the last few months, and saying, we're just going to hit the big reset button, but you're not going to remember any of this.
Oh, isn't that where he? was married, but then became unmarried because of it or something.
Yes, exactly.
And now they've remarried him or whatever.
It's just silly.
You know, well, you know, is it better than the new 52? I don't know. I doubt it. So all these reboots, man. I get updating things, and sometimes to update things, you have to do that hard reset. But seriously, in the last 5 years, there's been at least 3 hard resets. That's no, stop. I don't need no more New 52. I just need Batman and the Flash and there you know, Justice League, and that's neither here nor there. So. I want to talk about maximizing your time. We're talking about how there's not a lot of content. We've got PvP, which I do want to discuss with you guys here in a second. Mm-hmm. But what I've been doing is I recruited a Victor, of course, for the last Spec Ops, which I did end up getting all 4 weapons. I was able to research the Carpace or whatever. You know.
Carapace.
I was waiting for Klotz.
You placing orders at Maggiano's Italian Bistro? Carapace.
I was able to research
the Carpace.
On the last
extra
day.
Sauce on the Carpace, please.
I gotta say, guys, the mandible is freaking awesome.
I need to try some of those Ant-Man.
Doing Ant-Man. The set is a lot of buildup. It works really well together, especially in PvE. But for me and my style of playing PvP, it's too much set up to get the knockout punch. But you will get a knockout punch if you set it up right. Once you can one-shot a team, it's just 3 rounds in. You know, well, not a team, but a hero. It's not an all attack. But the mandible by itself has been making a huge appearance because sometimes it ignores interrupt. And it will counter on everything. Hey, look, I'm going to do a warm Zinfandel and heal my team. And yes, I know it's Zephyr, but I thought Zinfandel was funnier.
Well, it goes with the noir.
The noir, the Crimson Spider.
Right. Crimson Spider noir, yeah.
So, you know, you do the buff, right? That normally won't trigger anything. Nope, mandible smack you in the face sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes.
I'll have to try that. I'll set that up for the daily mission because those are always a fun place to try out new weapon sets and really put them through their paces and also get something decent while you're at it, hopefully.
And, of course, I am subscribing to the Disco Booty method of playing where I'm just 10 to 15 battles every single day. Mostly, I have a hard time getting enough battles in early on to get up to adamantium because I know that's the method, right? I know Nikolai does it. A lot of other people do it. It's like the first 3 to 4 days, you just 30 battles a day and you get up to adamantium. You get high enough in adamantium to where you can just maintain. That's always the goal. It never quite happens for me.
Sure.
Especially because I get distracted. I'm like, ooh, I want to try this team now. Oh, I want to try that team. And it works for a little while, but then I backslide and all that jazz. But I recruited Victor. And right now I am power leveling him. It's the first time I've ever power leveled a character. And every time he comes off of training, I immediately stop everything that I'm doing. I jump right into 112-2 and just play. And it's not that bad. I know some people who do it all the time says it's a grind. And it can be if you do it all the time. I can absolutely see where it's a grind and it gets old. But only doing it because I'm trying to build this defensive team that I have hopefully coming up soon.
Right.
That I'm very excited to do that grind. And as soon as I'm done with that, of course, each level takes a little bit more. But the first couple of levels that you level him, I'd say the first 8 or 9, you can do it in 1 to 2 game playthroughs and 112-2. And you're ready to go back to PvP play. So that's what I'm saying. Maximize your time. Look at your heroes. You just recruited Sunfire, which, oh, by the way, Timmy did hit me up on the back channels. And he verified that Sunfire is on sale. For 90 CP or 36 gold until August 15th, which is really the 14th.
Cool. There you go.
So, but nice. For the heroics, somebody in the chat room was saying, they recommend at least level 9. No. If you're not level 11 or 12 or higher, it's going to be really, really difficult. They just say it's going to be harder for lower level heroes. But if you really need to be 13 or 14 to go into the heroics. So what I'm saying is recruit these guys. Use the time now that's not chapter going. There's not a spec ops going. Maybe you don't even play PvP and just power level, however you power level, and get those guys ready because you're gonna really need to have them leveled up to get into these heroics, I think. That's my point. What are you guys doing? I know you've been traveling a bit, so you haven't had a lot of time to jump in. And Bots, you've been distracted too. But are you guys just using the downtime to take a break a little bit from the game, or are you doing like I am and trying to get some stuff in order?
I guess I'll jump in first. I'm taking a break. Waiting for the chapter. PvP's out. Man, you know, it's PvP. It is what it is. I'm not down on it. Like, it's not, you know, any worse or anything than the last few. But yeah, I definitely just needed a break. And so I've been busy with some real life stuff. And also I got into a closed beta for an Ultima Online private server that just launched. So I had a week head start from most people because I was involved in the alpha testing and some of the early design. And so I've been doing that. And that's, you know, that's an interesting experience because it's a fresh server. You know what I mean? So it's the beginning. Yeah. It's almost like being at the launch of something. And when I played as a kid, because, you know, the game originally came out in 97, my father and I started playing a few months in. So we missed that initial like gold rush feeling of like, this is, you know, the virgin world just completely, because it's a big sandbox style game. So you can build homes and stuff like that. And, you know, everybody's got to make their own way initially because there's no established economy and all this other stuff. And so I've been kind of tied up in that because it's just like, it's such a unique experience. It doesn't come along very often. I have a few friends who are involved with it, so I've been having a great time with them. So I figured now's a good time because, like, we're waiting for the new chapter. We don't have active spec ops, and, you know, it's basically just PvP. And PvP, you can just log in and do your five and be done. So now was the time for me to explore this other opportunity. I'm having a great time with it. So
good.
I don't really regret taking the step away to kind of get a breath of fresh air. I'm starting to feel like, you know, we play this game so much sometimes that it's like, I think the fact that the game kind of incentivizes you to play every single day and to never really get a vacation from it, that when we get negative on it sometimes, it's because we haven't had the opportunity to take a step away and distance ourselves from it and, like, kind of just, you know, take that deep sigh, like, deep breath of air and just be like, ah, yeah, okay. Do some other stuff for a little while, come back to it and be like, all right, sweet. You know, I'm not wrapped up in this every day. So that's where I'm at right now, is I'm just kind of logging in, doing my thing, and then just moving on.
Good. I definitely picked up, I want to say Future Fight came out in the last downtime, was when I first discovered it. So I definitely would do my five or whatever it was for the day, get out and play other games. So I agree with you. I think you have to step back every once in a while and play something else or watch something else or do something else to appreciate why we do put in all the hours that we do into this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the. What about you, Ibit? Are you aside from traveling? Would you?
Yeah, I was gonna say, as you mentioned, basically it's just been travel for me since we last met, since last Wednesday. But while I was out in Vegas, and especially thanks to George and kind of his devotion to the game, and the dude is very devoted to the game. So him taking the time to say, do your five battles, do them now because we're going to be out late tonight. So getting those taken care of in the morning before we left the hotel room and then doing a few extra while we're waiting for the other person to finish getting ready. So it's been a lot of PvP. No, obviously, even at the end of the spec ups there, I had all four weapons. I didn't go through and farm the other weapons, the other chapter or the other mission weapons. But and I also didn't get all of the character specific AI SOs that I wanted to get. I imagine they're going to go on sale. They probably already are on sale. I just haven't a chance to take a look at them. But it's been pretty much just all PvP, getting my five in when we did it, and getting enough movement. I'm just under the 1500 mark. I'm like, let me pull it up here. I am at like about 1478, so 2 weeks left to go. I like to get a nice little head start on it early so I can just kind of maintain. Definitely don't want to leave it to the last minute, but we're pretty close to getting just into adamantium and kind of doing that maintain game.
So I love this. They're talking about the when 9 might drop during the show, after the show. Right. Somebody was like, well, it's not going to drop before the show. I was like, well, no.
But too late for that.
Light Body 1 says, need chapter 9. Then in 24 hours, when's chapter 10?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Definitely doing, you know, like I said, 15 to 20 battles a day on PvP. Just crossed the 1550 mark. I am nice. In adamantium as of today, which is nice. I am running Quick Lord on my defense for the last 24 hours, and it did great for all of two battles where we lost both of them. But I didn't, that was all that was fought, so I really don't have anything to compare it to see how well it did. I will say on offense, I'm having a blast. I have the rapier from the spider sword equipped, and I have the mandible.
You're so careful about that. Or
you guys are giving me so much group. Yes, and I'm saying, I mean, the proc levels, the proc levels were pretty intense to start with. I am running a scrapper agent suit with the new EISO. I'm also running the, I'll pull it up here in a second. I'm running the cube. I did have to go back to the cube and go, okay, I tried to drop it out of my inventory to see if I could add. At one point, I was running the scrapper, which does the possible interrupt, the new EISO, which does some counterattacks, the mandible, the sword, the black Roscoe, which does counterattacks, of course, as well. And then I forget, I did one other. Basically, everything I had countered or pre-attacked for me. It's like in PvE, I gotta tell you guys, in PvE, you're like a god among men. I mean, you just go in and your hero just starts beating the crap out of everybody multiple times. You know, oh, wait, here's a mandible. But I have a sword, too, and a gun. And it's like, holy God. I mean, it's awesome. Of course, the RNG in PvP is slightly different. So it didn't quite work out. So I did go back to the cube for the dodge. Because I got to say, you go up against a team with the cube and you don't have it, that 20% is really large. It is. I don't know. I personally don't notice it as much if I'm using the cube as well. So I'm dodging, they're dodging. But when I'm not dodging and they're dodging, it's like, ugh. And I'm running Kurth and Null because that's my team. I really understand how they work and how I work with them. And I know the 1-2 punch setup. I did change it up a little bit using Curse, Fear Me, because I used to just skip that until Cower became such a huge deal in PvP, man.
I mean, proc so often, and you see that a lot. You see, I think that's why people are still running Heimdall too, is because the Cower procs so often, and then he can deal a really nice little powerful shot with the Uru.
Yeah, I thought about running on defense, running Heimdall and Heroic Age Iron Fist with the scrapper suit. So everybody's like the go nowhere team. Everybody just tells you no. Team no.
The no team. Yeah. Right. There you go.
A skeptic. That's the gun I'm using. So I would say this was in the chat room as well. The Relentless Rapier and the Mandible, run those together because it is a lot of follow up attacks and counter attacks, and it's the mandible is nuts, man. I really researched it hard. It was my first research to farm because I was watching as I'm going up against it, and I'd have a Hurricane's Iron Fist go out and hit somebody and say interrupted, and then the mandible would come anyway. It's like, huh, either it's broken or they have multiple strikes or whatever. I don't know because I'm running both the sword and the mandible, so that's my recommendation right now for equipment. Absolutely, because it's badass.
Cool, excellent. I'll try it out. Can't try it out today though, because it's a Thunderbolts daily, so can't use the agent for those.
No, but that dude. And if you have all four, you said you had all four Ant-Man set. Definitely lock that up and put it on PVE. And if I remember right, you have to do it a certain way, but there's a free action, which is the Carapace, which does...
Nicely done. A little applause for you.
Which gives everybody tech upgrade. And then you do the... what is it? The ant swatter? It's the antenna. The antenna, mm-hmm. on one person, and then you do the mandible, and after the antenna, and you hit with the, and it just, it takes the punch from a quarter bar to almost a full bar, or sometimes it is the full bar. That antenna is the setup for the mandible for sure. The other part of it is just the stinger. It's meh. I'm not impressed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you can probably leave that one if need be.
I think you can. I think it's just have one other piece of the ants, whatever, and you get bonuses. I'm not sure. It might be, man, I need, you know, somebody in the chat room can actually look this up. I'm not sure if it's one of these. If you have two pieces, you get this. If you have three pieces, you get this. And if you have four. So it definitely depends on if you need four to get what you want. So I had Samuel A. says, take 10 shots for McFall gets a name right. The mandible claw.
And the Krampus.
Yeah, the Krampus. Well, it's actually not. It's not Krampus. It's
not Krampus. Not at all.
So that's my PvP report. I'm doing okay with defense, and I'm doing pretty solid with the offense. And I am building a defense I've seen before, a Beta Ray Bill with a level 14, of course, with level 14 Victor as soon as I get him up there. And I just picked up in the lot boxes the axe that I can't even remember now because it's been 5 minutes, but the Thunder Axe. And that's going to be awesome, too.
Right. Cool.
So, because, man, those shocks, they get you. I mean, when it's every move, somebody sneezes, shock, shock, shock. Mm. Oh, no, shock, 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 you spoke.
Right, everybody, like, yeah. Right, right. Yeah. Going all the way through everybody. Yeah, that's brutal.
It makes me happy. So what else do we have? Do you guys want to talk about, I think that's it for the current events. Mm-hmm. Did you guys want to, let's jump to Expanded Universe for a second and talk about Fantastic Four?
Well, it'll be hard to talk about something that neither of us care enough to bother to see.
Yeah.
But I think somebody in the Agents Only Lounge posted a comment about it saying that they did go see it and that, while they didn't enjoy it, they did feel like all of the Fox and Warner Brothers DC movies, superhero movies like the DC stuff and the X-Men, Fantastic Four, et cetera, are just darker, more depressing, dour movies. And there's one more thing I'm looking forward to when I do eventually see Fantastic Four, probably when
it's
it comes
depressed.
To Free Cable. Yeah, just the fact that it's, there's no fun in it. And at least with Marvel's cinematic universe, they get it right. They know how to say, all right, Winter Soldier is going to be a very serious movie, but we're going to have some light moments in it. We're going to have Captain America running laps, literally running laps around Sam at the beginning. On your left. And it's stuff like that, that they've figured out how to say, all right, comics are fun. They should be fun. There should be humor in them. And we're going to inject that same humor into the movies as it is appropriate to those characters. Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe 20% humor. Ant-Man, maybe 30 or 40% humor. But Winter Soldier doesn't need that. So like 5, 10% humor is adequate, is the right balance. Age of Ultron with the whole language thing, stuff like that. They know how to put that right amount of humor into it. And I think that that's part of the magic of the MCU movies is that that they're going to respect the material and they're going to inject just the right amount of humor and not make changes for change's sake.
Yeah, I agree. Now, from the MCU cast, many episodes ago, they were talking about DC movies versus MCU. And it has actually been reported that I don't care enough to remember the names of the heads of the studios. I only remember Feige's
Kevin
name because
Kevin Feige. Yeah,
well, they say that one all the time. That's the only reason I remember.
So they
that.
Say it is Feige.
They pronounce it Feige. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know.
It's my favorite enemy in Dig Dug was Feige. The Dragon. Yeah.
But the DC, one of the heads of the DC end of things, Warner Brothers. I don't know if it's Warner Brothers or if it's DC Comics, but essentially they said no jokes. There'll be no jokes in DC movies. I'm like, well, that's a reaction to the Marvel because people see the Marvel. And one of the things that makes the previews every time is there's at least one joke in the preview that makes you laugh. mm-hmm. you know, a moment it's like, hey, it's going to be a end of the world horror, but at the same time, you're going to enjoy yourself.
Right. I mean, the whole scene with them trying to lift the hammer, it injects great lightness into the film that you need right before all the stuff with Ultron takes place. I mean, immediately before all the stuff with Ultron takes place. So, wow, for DC to say that, I mean, come on. You know, they've got The Flash, which works so well on TV with some comedic elements. Are they saying that there's never going to be an Ambush Bug movie? Is that kind
well,
of
the, on the main screen? I think you are correct in that assessment.
Right, right.
Now, I also know that one of the differences in the DC, what do they call it, DC Extended Universe versus the MCU, mm-hmm. is we know already because it's been proven over and over again, MCU will allow their movie characters to come to their TV.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we've seen Sif, and I want to say we've seen somebody else.
We've seen Maria Hill.
Of course, yeah, that's it, Maria Hill.
Maria Sparkles. We've seen her show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We've seen,
and of course, Coulson himself,
Nick Fury. Yeah,
you know, yes, Nick Fury. So DC won't do that. I don't know if it's again. I don't know because see, with Marvel, it's still Marvel Studios. Disney mm-hmm. owns them, but it's still Marvel Studios controlling all this stuff. So I don't know the relationship between DC and Warner Brothers, but the idea is that no, you won't see. I'm trying to think of one of the characters in like Batman will not come over to Arrow. You know, it wouldn't be that big. It'd be somebody, of course, a side character. DC on screen referenced it recently. I can't think of it, but
what
won't
about
see
Crimson
it.
Spider? Can he be on Arrow?
Yes,
he could show up actually, and everybody go. Who?
But back to the Fantastic Four being dark. I've seen one or two reviews of, hey, I liked it, but mostly and you know it's going to be bad when the studio itself puts a moratorium on reviews until 3 days after the movies actually come out. You know, typically they let people see advanced screenings, right? Get the reviews ready. So on launch day, bam, here's a review. No. They moratoriumed it. I mean, they said
if your film has a review embargo, that means you made a shit film.
Basically.
Right, exactly.
Every time.
Yeah.
Expletive deleted every time. That is the thing is every terrible film that is based on like tied to a strong IP or anything like that, when they embargo, that's when you know the ship is already sinking. It's time to get in the life raft because, they do that so they don't get destroyed opening weekend. And it doesn't matter because, I read one review for the film myself. I read a Forbes review, and the guy talked about his personal, response to the film, and he also talked about the financial implications in a companion article. And I found it really fascinating because he was just like, They're not doing anything to revitalize these characters appropriately. They're not capturing, what people are looking for. And you can tell. And he talks, he dissects it and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh, man, that's – wow. I was really down on the film ahead of time. And then I saw some of the more recent trailers and I was like, oh, that might not be a total steaming pile of dung. And then I read that review and I was like, oh no, it is a steaming pile of dung.
Yeah. I watched one review and I cannot, it's on a higher end. Like we do this professionally.
Oh yeah.
Website. It wasn't like Superhero Reports or anything.
I think I saw the one that you saw. Yeah.
They said, well, even if there's not going to be story, at least give me something good to look at. And they said the graphics look like it was from 1993. I don't know. And I've seen the meme where they show the Doom from the first movie
mm-hmm.
next to the new Doom. It's like, this is Doom. This is Doom on meth. It looks bad. And now Agent Wiggles says, apparently, this is just in the chat room. I don't know. But he says, apparently, it's clobbering time. It's something Thing's abusive dad or brother says before they beat on him in Fantastic Four. Way to take a fun catchphrase and make it about domestic abuse. I hope that's not true. I hope that's
I'm sure it is. If he's putting it in there, I'm sure that's something from the new film.
That's
one more reason to say, oh, come on. So you're going to tell me that every time Thing uses a phrase, it's clobbering time, he's doing it as a homage to his abusive dad?
I don't know, man. That's such a mess. Now, on to happier expanded 9% universe.
9% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
I know.
Even Pixels. Pixels is doing better on Rotten Tomatoes than Fantastic Four.
Before we move on. Even the film that may be the end of Adam Sandler's career is better. Now, here's the thing. Everybody is trying to replicate the success of the Batman trilogy, you know, the Batman Begins and so on. Mm-hmm. The darker, edgier, anti-hero thing. Sure. But what they're failing to realize is what has made the MCU so successful is that they are lighthearted and fun. They're heroes. And there are anti-heroes within it. You know what I mean? There are people who go against the grain and everything. But ultimately, they are fun films. You go and you laugh. And like, I mean, every single MCU film I've enjoyed. Guardians of the Galaxy is a film that basically was an open mockery of itself the entire time. And we all loved it.
So was the comic.
Right. Well, yeah. And, you know, both Avengers films had a lot of witty dialogue and stuff like that. Things that kept it light. Because ultimately, you know, yes, the comics sometimes delve into the deep, dark, nasty stuff. And that is interesting at times. But what's really going to keep bringing people back, especially kids. Now, here's the thing. If you want to take an IP that's based on comic books and be massively successful with it, make it good for kids too.
Yeah.
Because that's not a rocket science, you know, formula. That's just basic common sense. And that's where Fox keeps falling short. They're trying to make these super serious films. And it's like, we get it. These are comic book characters. We don't need super serious.
Yeah.
We can, I mean, the people were kind of down on Iron Man 3 because it's kind of a downer. It's, you know, it's a serious film. I love it. I think it's a great film, but I understand why people weren't into it because it was the darkest of them yet. You know,
it was necessary to set out what was coming.
Oh yeah. And it was really about Tony coming to terms with everything that he had been through. You know what I mean? So, like, and some people were just like, what? Why are there feelings in my superhero movie? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, that stuff's there, but you'll see it in the MCU even. The films that are, like, not quite as widely supported are the ones where they start delving a little bit deeper into that kind of stuff. And so that the formula is pretty obvious. And it's the whole thing is like DC has always done the darker, grittier stuff for the most part. I mean, they've got their goofy, flamboyant characters too. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously Robin's been running around in his outrageous circus outfit for decades and so on and so forth.
With and without nipples. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is they can do that because that's kind of their shtick. Is DC is the kind of darker universe where Marvel is like, because DC is really, the strength of DC is on its rogues gallery. The strength of Marvel is on its heroes. So make the heroes desirable and good. And that's what they're just not doing. They're not really, that's what Fox isn't doing, I should say.
Well, yeah, I agree. And it actually pains me to see the Marvel graphic comic flip. I'm like, oh wait, no, that's not Marvel.
You're right. I know. It's like, could we maybe say that you can't use that unless it's a real Marvel MCU
let's
film?
Make it like a duller red. It's non animated. It's just the static logo. Like, oh yeah, that's Marvel. Okay. Now, just for everybody to know, that's a taste of what you're going to get on Breaking the Panel when we're the flagship show that we're doing. We dive into those kind of things. We laugh. We on the pilot that we have recorded that we're still working on development and getting our timetables right. You know, I went nuts on DC about not giving me my trailers. Give me my trailers, you know. You'll have the laughter, but you'll have more of that kind of thing, diving into what the audience wants, what we think the audience wants, what we want out of movies. And on a quick upside, Ronda Rousey, who was in Expendables 3, she's excellent in that. She's an excellent Ultimate Fighter. And she seems like an all-around cool person. She stays feminine while still being able to beat the crap out of people, right? And she has come out and said she wants to be Miss Marvel which I think would be perfectly suited for that role, personally.
Cool.
So that was a press release that got put out today. So I don't know if they're even going to look at her. I don't know. I haven't heard that they've cast Ms. Marvel yet. But, you know, Marvel, when somebody of this caliber comes knocking on your door who can fight, and I'm not saying she's the top caliber actress, but I thought she was decent in Expendables 3. I thought she held her own with an all-male cast, which is going to be important because most of these superhero movies are what? 90% male cast, right? So she held her own as one of the equals. I wouldn't even say one of the guys, one of the equals, because she was still very feminine while she did it. And there you go, cast her. She's handing herself to you on a silver platter. Captain Marvel, it literally is the same thing. Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, until you get future into the comics, it's literally the same. Carol Danvers.
No.
She wants to be Carol Danvers.
It's a valid point, though, sir, because
I hate you all.
She's going to be Captain. She's going to be Captain Marvel in the MCU because we're talking about cosmic level Captain Marvel. You know, we're talking about
still Carol Danvers.
But that's the point, is that this is later on in her storyline.
Right.
She's not Miss Marvel. It's kind of a different thing.
Let's see if the king agrees.
The king.
Which I'm sure he'll have nothing to say about any of this.
No, not at all.
All right, here we go. I'll hail the king.
What is up, FTH? It's Kingfisher, 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought Chapter 9 would be released. And so we would be talking about that and Nurkod. Unfortunately, here we are on Tuesday. And still no new chapter. It very well may come out today, but that's not going to help me out for this segment. I wanted to make my All Hail the King video based around the new Mockingbird-worthy costume, but since I don't know what it's going to be like yet, that definitely makes it hard to talk about. Don't get me wrong though, once Chapter 9 comes out, I'm going to have so many different videos I have to make. It's going to be a very busy week. Now obviously I have no idea when it's coming out, but PD is going to have a problem. I don't have anywhere to go, so I'm going to be here. I actually went out yesterday and fully expected for them to drop it while I was gone, but they dropped the ball. It also made me think of a post that I think I saw on the Agents Only forum, and that was where one of you pointed out on Twitter that they'd never released a new chapter on Monday. I guess they wanted to continue that trend. So what will we talk about instead of Chapter 9? Well, how about the terrible PvP season that's going on? And how normally it would be made even worse by a new chapter, a new costume, and weapons hitting somewhere in the middle, if not towards the end. But this season is so bad that I don't see how it could hurt. Now, time and time again, we've sat here and complained about various things in the game, especially PvP. But let me go ahead and retract all my prior statements, all my complaints. Those seasons were an absolute dream compared to this one. Don't get me wrong, if things continue, I'm going to coast to Adamantium on defensive wins alone. But offensively, it's been a nightmare. Every team is either Enchantress and Beast, or some insane follow-up, counter, etc. team. Teams where you won't even get to see a single turn. Not that Enchantress doesn't charm one of my teammates, and that keeps them out of the battle the entire time as well. Which is fantastic. But like has been pointed out, they wanted to limit action, so they ruined quick actions, and then let Enchantress get unlimited turns, plus an infinite amount of follow-up attacks. Seems pretty legit. It wouldn't even be that bad for me personally, because like I said, I can just coast off my defense. But there was a lockbox character, and now that I just got him today, I'm done attacking. This broken PvP system needs to be fixed if I'm to continue wasting my time offensively. It's just so frustrating. The turn order and procs determine everything. So yeah, I'm done attacking and hopefully we can just finish strong on the backs of our defense, which so far has put me over 2,000 rating. Other than that, I'm waiting for the twins and for Chapter 9. I wish they were separate releases, but we either get everything at once or nothing at all. That's a whole other complaint section though. There really hasn't been a lack of content recently. Just some really anticipated stuff that's taken a while. But yeah, they're doing alright. PvP's just broken, to the point of being unplayable. Other than that, in the Infiltrator flight suit, we're doing all right. And that's really about all there is to talk about until Chapter 9. Oh, Hyperion, of course, looks like he's going to be awesome. Now that I've had a very limited time with him, I see that his rising up is going to proc all the time. And he gains Scrapper Sentiment as soon as he uses his level 1. It doesn't kick in next turn, it kicks in right then. These small things alone are actually quite big, and make him even better than I first thought. So I'm looking forward to using him in PvP, especially possibly with Nurkod. And until then, I have a lot of leveling to do. So that's what I'll be working on for now. And I could make the next All Hail the King episode based on Hyperion. So keep an eye out for that one and for Chapter 9. That's going to be it for today's segment, but I want to thank you all for listening and then send it back to the host.
Now, it was not lost on me. They said he could coast in Adamantium on defensive wins alone.
Right.
What are you running on your defense?
He spent a lot of gold and bought all the PvP items.
That could help, but
I don't know. I'd love to take a look at his defensive team and see what he's got. I bet that's a trade secret right now, though.
I guess.
Well, I guess he could take a look at it.
Well, we can see his weapons.
Yeah.
Unless we face him, we won't see his team.
Right, exactly.
And even then, you don't know how their AI is sewed up. And sometimes you might not even know how their AI is sewed up if it's not specific to the character. But wow, man. Hyperion does sound pretty awesome. I'm very excited to have him. I'm not as excited as Travis Jones, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago, man. He's in love with the Hyperion, and I'm glad to hear it, man. He's very exciting, and
it's good to see somebody getting excited over characters that at first glance are like, oh, okay, that's really good, and then you get somebody who's like, oh, it's gonna be awesome. Kind of injects a little bit of excitement himself into it, right?
Yeah. See, you set me up for these softball jokes, and I have to sidestep them because you don't appreciate my gutter humor. but I do want to correct something. Last week we did show 100. And I totally meant to say something. Nobody said anything to me, but it's something I wanted to do, and I failed. I did want to thank Travis for coming on in your absence and doing a great job and helping us out with that.
Right.
He was a really cool guy and lots of fun, and kept Klotz and I laughing the whole time. It was great.
Good. I listened to that show on the way to Salt Lake City a couple weeks ago. So big thanks to him for stepping in.
Yeah. So that is cool. Now we do have a Pocket Prof.
Let's hear it.
Pokey
Prof.
You know, Klotz, there's no smile anymore.
Maybe you can start putting it in there phonetically for you.
I've worn his smile down. Now he's just like, Pokey. I said, here comes this segment.
Greetings, agents. I am Agent Pokeprov, back once more for another audio report. I'm trying to come up with a name that really sells my little segments, and I was hoping for some suggestions. Maybe the MAA microanalysis? Toss some ideas at me. As for what we're going to talk about this week, I had originally hoped that Chapter 9 would have been live by now, allowing me to talk about some of the changes in it, or perhaps even talk about a certain patch change that might affect us all. But no such luck. Instead, I wanted to bring up a particular hero I've been using a lot lately, the Bruiser Valkyrie. She's all in all a fairly durable bruiser that, while lacking the pure power of some of the others of her class, I found myself enjoying playing with nonetheless. Her death glow not only makes keeping your health up a cinch without having a team member or item completely dedicated to healing, but she can also grant resurrection through her death watch effect in a pinch. It's especially useful when you got the AISO along with it, turning the resurrection effect into a quick action and guaranteeing it for all allies. Valkyrie also shows the power of having a situational tank, only jumping in the way of attack should she have an ally that's low on health. While heroes like the Spider-Man or Nightcrawler can make fights irritating to deal with because of their random nature of defending their friends, it's often quite a pleasure to know that, should you end up near death, Valkyrie will not only take the hit, but she'll also find a way to ensure you to keep on fighting. This allows you to plan and set up your team around her so that everyone can trade off some of the damage without anyone worrying about biting the dust. And it's here I just realized that near everyone I've talked about in these reports are strong in utility instead of damage. I'll have to change that next time. Till then, head back to the terrific trio, agents.
Ah, like a terrific trio. Very you know, good. I had not noticed that he'd been talking about utility characters, mostly because I don't understand utility characters that well, so I'm very enthralled. Like, oh, that sounds good. I'm glad.
Yeah, I mean, they're characters that you use in concert with other characters that can deal a lot of damage. So instead of kind of like support characters, utility characters are the setup. They're the bump set before your major character goes out and does a spike.
Yeah. Hey, man, EISOs and AISOs change the game without a doubt. Although they did not, for me, in my purposes, they did not help Mr. Fantastic all that much. But you already like one of Mr. Fantastic, so his AISO would very much, you know.
Yeah, I wish I would have gotten it.
you can borrow mine.
Okay. So I know a lot of people were posting in Agents Only Lounge. They got like five of them. So they'll go on sale at some point, and I'll pick them up.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do.
You're the collector. Hey.
Yes.
Benicio Del Toro will play you in the Life movie. Or a Lifetime movie, whichever one comes first.
The Lifetime movie, right.
Without my collection.
Not without my... Nice. Beautiful.
Thank you very much. All right, it's time for From the Field.
Let's start with one from Agent Wiggles. Hello, Mo, Larry, and Curly, which makes Uncle George Shemp. First of all, I wanted to give a quick shout-out to Agent Stewart for mentioning me in last week's podcast. I wish I could have had something to write in and be a part of it, but it was nice to be mentioned in such a momentous episode. Thank you, Agent Stewart. Now, next week, Agent Stewart has to write in, shouting out to my shout-out to his original shout-out. Keep it going, Agent Stewart. Any hoots. I wanted to suggest a PvP setup that's been really awesome for me in the last few seasons. I partook in the Gold Seal with a Scroll of Rudimaroth. Not sure how it's spelled. That's pretty much right. Since the scroll put slowed on the agent, I realized it had synergy with Satana, and it really has been a blast using a hero in PvP offense that can actually benefit from debuffs in a PvP meta so dominated by keeping debuffs on the opponent. The scroll not only helps make debuffs on your team aid you instead of hurt you, just the Paragon debuffs, but it makes the enemy team staggered and unable to remove debuffs as a quick action. Been running Satana with her brother Damon Hellstrom, and they're pretty damn awesome in PvP. See what I did there? I've had a hell of a time using them. Okay, I'll stop. They kick so much ass. Okay, now I'm just cussing. Might not make for the fastest wins, but they're consistent and hard to kill. I call the team Hell in the Family, and I like to imagine my agent is the Archie Bunker type who's really prejudiced against Hellspawns. Come on, agent, it's 2015. Throw in a couple of cooperative AISOs into the mix, and it'll make their demon summons quick actions. All right, for most of the listeners, by the way, All in the Family was a TV show that we used to watch on terrestrial TV.
With antennas.
That's right, with antennas. And it had Archie Bunker and his wife, Edith, and da-da-da. All right, he was kind of a racist. Magic is super useful in PvP these days, and I really can't recommend Damon and Satana enough. Resonant EISOs, farming their character EISOs only requires doing one heroic battle, and Satana's is pretty good. Haven't gotten Damon's yet. Worried about Slowed making your team get hit a lot? Satana makes Slowed become agile. Didn't listen or read what I just said? Damon can put Skittering Darkness on your team. Skittering Darkness plus Satana's EISO, preemptively putting Distracted on enemies, Fandral style, makes you a pretty hard-to-hit team. The scroll isn't necessary, but it really does help quite a bit. So if they ever have it for 64 gold, I say buy it. And regardless, scroll or not, I say give Satana and Damon a try. Hell in the Family. Sincerely, Agent Wiggles. That is a great suggestion for a team. I'm going to try that one. Looks like fun for sure.
I know when Pesty Beast first came around, Satana was a go-to team up with him, which makes sense because, you know, you can't remove any debuffs, and she puts a ton on. Sure. She's one of the few characters I do not have.
Really?
Yeah. You know, well, I never quite made the lot boxes. I don't pay. I don't play the lot box daily mission because it just gives me a migraine to think that I'm going to get a whole bunch of lot boxes that I already have. Mm-hmm. I only need her and Constrictor when it comes to lot boxes. So if/when they put the lot box sets on sale, I will probably pick hers up and try to finally get her out of limbo prison. But not Constrictor. I just don't care. Victor's just horrible. I want to unfriend the person when I hit the distress call, and in comes Constrictor, and he just does his little hand up and does nothing. It's like,
yeah,
unfriend. There you go. Thanks for just having him on your team. No, yes. I don't do that. I don't actually do that, but it is irritating. So, Klotz, you want to hit the next one?
I mean, hit me. The Swordmaster Eagle. Hey, this is Agent Swordmaster Eagle. I thought my my online handle Immortal Sword was a little heavy-handed. Hey, this is Agent Swordmaster Eagle, and I love your show. You know, you can find advice on ISO 8 and eISOs, but I have looked for AISO advice and can't find it. What's up with that?
It's so tough.
What's up with that? What's up with that?
What up with that? What up with that?
I have found that AISOs can really make a hero powerful. For example, Doctor Strange. First ability, I give Ionizing. Second, Thorned. Third, Sorceress. Augmenting is big if you do it right. Do you have suggestions for people? Stay sharp, the Swordmaster Eagle. My response to that is, yeah, well, hit up the people in the Agents Only Lounge because they're great.
And if you don't,
yeah, almost goes without saying that whatever suggestions we give will be corrected in the Agents Only Lounge.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I just kind of dropped off there because it was like insert comments from people from the lounge there.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of different stances on what to do as far as using AISO, but it can be really important. The right AISO setup can take a character from being ineffective in a certain battle or in PvP to being a powerhouse. Like, it's just, you can, a single stone can sometimes just turn the tide of a character completely. It's awesome.
Thank you, Morpheus.
Yeah, that's very, very inspirational, sir. I appreciate that. Speaking of that kind of thing, Union Jack, you get his AISO, his specific, which is super powerful. Team him up with Noir, Spider-Man, and the Scrapper Agent suit that interrupts with the new AISO and all the counterattack, pre-counter weapons that you can. In PvE, it's literally just a click fest. You know, it's like click, one attack, okay, everybody's dead. Because I've seen Noir and Union Jack just keep procking. I shot him. No, I shot him. No, I shot him. No, I shot him. I'm like, what are you even procking off of? Oh, you're following up on each other's attacks that are following up on each other's attacks? That's awesome.
Nice.
So that's, to me, was an example of the stone definitely changing it. And if you don't know how to become an agent in the Agents Only Lounge, go to patreon.com/fromthehelicarrier. And any pledge will get you in. Of course, you see other rewards that are there. But I got to tell you, that... I would not give any ASO suggestions. I'd go to the lounge and go, hey, I've got this character. Of course, I think it's almost easier to leave it unsaid that, but I'm not going to. If they have a specific EISO or ASO, try that first. You know, absolutely.
Yeah. The character ones are almost always the best ones to choose for that character. Almost.
So, like with EISO, it's 50-50. Depends on what you're trying to do. Like Quicksilver's EISO keeps his quickness from, when you counterattack, it's supposed to use a quickness, the EISO just keeps it from going away. It's still not all that great. Yeah, quickness makes it proc more. It makes his attack go up a little bit. I think it makes his dodge go up maybe. I don't remember exactly what quickness does. There's a shock. But I didn't find his personal EISO to be effective. Or Luke Cage as null. You don't use a Luke Cage EISO because Null does not get Knuckle Up. Although on my ESO it says Null, not Luke Cage, so I'm a little confused. But he does. Null doesn't get Knuckle Up, so have the whole. You can still use it, but it won't work because it says he clears off a random debuff every time he gets a Knuckle Up. But he doesn't Knuckle Up. It's Hammer of the Gods or what is it? I'm looking at it right now. It is not Prove Your Worth. Are you not going to show me here? He gets Divine Hammer. That's it. He gets Divine Hammer, which is not the same. So I don't know if the EISO will translate or not, but that's that. But yeah, go over to patreon.com/fromthehelicarrier and sign up today, and we'll get you into the lounge as soon as we can. So I think that's about it. Re, if this game's a procking, Don't come and knock.
That's a good. See, there you go. That could be a title right
That's
there.
That's the title. I like that. I like that for the title. If this game's a crockin',
don't bother knocking.
Yep. Emmett, where in the world are you going to be this week? Are you going to stay home for a couple of days?
I'm home. I'm home until Dragon Con. So just basically catching up on, catching up on sleep. Last night I dreamed I was driving.
Oh, no.
Which is like the worst thing after 10 hours of driving, 10 and a half hours driving back from Vegas to actually dream about still driving. Yeah, I mean, home here until Dragon Con, and then I hope we're going to see some of our Atlanta folks or our Southern folks, fans attending Dragon Con coming up and saying hi to us.
You know, two extended members of the family, MCU cast and DC on screen, they're both in Alabama. They're both within hours drive of Dragon Con. Both shows have two hosts each, so none of the four are coming to Dragon Con. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Emmett and I will both be there. We want to meet you. I'm like, all right, fine. And, I mean, it ranges from con crud because Matt, his whole career is a musician, as a singer. Mm-hmm. And so con crud takes him out for a week and he can't make money.
And he can't tour.
I get that. Some of the other guys are, you know, it's the cost of staying in the area. And I get that, you know, when you're working on a budget. But it's like, but I'm sad now because I thought I was going to get to meet you guys.
Oh.
So Dragon Con, where Ibbot and I will stay blitzed the whole time and won't remember most of it.
That's a great idea. I got nothing. I got, you know, I'm helping out with the podcasting track. But other than that, it's all drinking.
Yeah, man. It's going to be fun. And Klotz, unfortunately, you're not going to make it this year, but we definitely have you on the docket for next year. We're going to push hard to get you here.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun. And I think the level up, definitely I want to rehash what Klotz said earlier, is sometimes when it's in the downtime, you got to take a step away so you appreciate what you have when you come back.
That's a good idea. Plus, just, you know, taking a break from any game is a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I know we broke the news that MAA2 is coming, but there's not been an official launch. We don't know when MAA1 is going away. And I still love playing this game, and I will beat the crap out of it until the day they sunset. And I mean, you play it hard. I don't mean like trash it, but, you know, I will go after every character, play every PvP until MAA2 takes over or until they say, okay, we're sunsetting this. It's going to be gone in 60 seconds or whatever. So, hey,
cool.
On that bad joke, here's Woodard.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbot on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.